Welcome back to the National Cancer Prevention Workshop, produced by Less Cancer. This year, we're talking about cancer prevention in rural America, screenings and healthcare for better outcomes. My name is Miles O'Brien. I am a member of the board of Less Cancer, and we are privileged to be joined by a longtime friend of Less Cancer and one of my fellow board members, Jan Carney, MD. She is the Associate Dean for Public Health and Health Policy and Professor of Medicine at the Larner College of Medicine at the University of Vermont. And she has worked tirelessly on the issue of cancer prevention. Jan, great to have you back with us.
My pleasure, Miles. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're most welcome. Always welcome here. Let's talk a little bit about communication. We are in an era where I think we have this assumption that everybody's just connected all the time, 100%, and able to get whatever information they need. There's a couple of factors to consider here. First of all, not everybody has that capability. Number two, there's an awful lot of misinformation out there. So when it comes to rural health, this is particularly a difficult challenge to solve. Why don't you, first of all, explain that? Why, in the context of a rural setting, the lack of information, the mechanisms for obtaining information are a particularly acute problem?
So first, we may not even have internet in all of our, or cell phone service in all of our rural areas. So broadband internet, and that's a challenge certainly here in northern New England, and that can be a major impediment, whether you're in rural or urban settings. Second thing I would say is that sometimes we assume there are ways that people want to get scientific and medical or health information that's of high quality, and those assumptions may or may not be correct. As an example, you know, universities and healthcare systems and government health agencies are common sources of health information. For people in the rural areas, sometimes the most important thing is to talk to them, to ask them, and because there may be local ways that people prefer to get that information, and then if we respect those and understand that, they'll be more likely to listen to us. So I would say that's the first principle right there.
You know, that's such a key point. You know, we've seen time and again when we talk about the misinformation that is, you know, out there writ large, taking aside just the particular issue of the rural setting, is that people tend to believe trusted sources, mostly people they know, right? I mean, it's really important to get down to that level, because there's so much skepticism built into our discourse these days, right?
Right, and it's people they know, and I think for us, you know, in the field to try and make people's health and lives better, we need to make sure that the people that they're talking to have all the information that's indeed accurate. So sometimes those trusted sources are in healthcare settings. So if they might be a local doctor or nurse that they trust, it could be their town paper, as an example, where they get all their information, or talking to their friends, a faith-based organization. But we need to make sure that we have a presence in those communities to get that information out there.
So that's a particular challenge, right? I mean, obviously the healthcare system is spread thin as it is, and we really need to enlist kind of almost a Peace Corps style approach to this, and put people on the ground who have the knowledge, who have the credibility, who have the trust of other people to explain that, you know, a prostate cancer screening is an important thing, for example, or whatever you may decide. What's the way to do that, though? What's the way to build such a force of people that can really make a difference?
I think we have to be really creative. And if you look at the literature, you see things like community health workers, lay health advisors, people who are not doctors or nurses, but they become health and science and medical ambassadors out in communities, can play a huge role, not only in education, but in bridging the gaps of access to primary preventative care and cancer screening, as an example.
So have you tinkered with this idea in Vermont? Do you have kind of an unofficial army out there of healthcare information providers?
We're trying to develop that. And so in a current grant that I'm working on, we have worked with a a not-for-profit organization of to help with older Vermonters, and it's called Support and Services at Home. And we basically asked one of our community partners, you know, how do people want information? And this was around COVID and vaccines, and we know there's been a lot of controversy and misinformation around the COVID-19 vaccines. We asked them, you know, how do people want information? And they wanted one-page flyers with cartoons and large fonts with reputable sources such as the CDC and our own health department here. So when we fed that information back in that form, people liked it very much. And so we're looking to expand that into other areas around preventive health care.
So getting the word out is one thing, and having that resonate with people is important, obviously. But the next step is to take some action. And there are other challenges that you face in a rural setting, which are quite frankly, Vermont in the winter it's tough to go anywhere, much less your healthcare provider, especially if you're way out away from a city like Burlington, right?
Right. So the concept is linking people to access, whether that's access to information, access to health care, and thinking about transportation is really, really important. That's a huge barrier. So think about the use of telehealth. You know, for all of the horrendous things that happened during the pandemic, we did learn some very positive things about both health professionals and patients' acceptance of telehealth, and we can use that even more than we're using now. Linking people to how to enroll for health care, that can be a barrier. Finding someone to see in your own, or at least within transportation range to find health care. Those are the kinds of things. And those are the kinds of community ambassadors, trained professionals, community health workers. I think that we need to use these proven strategies even more than we're doing now.
Well, you know, you mentioned telehealth. That's an interesting thought. You know, certainly during the pandemic, if there was a silver lining, there are a few silver linings. That's one of them, is that the medical profession really leaned into this idea of consults over the internet. But as you pointed out, a lot of people don't have the internet. So it's a bit of a conundrum in rural settings, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it is. And so I think that fortunately, you know, there is a ton of support to try and make sure that we do have broadband all over, you know, rural northern New England, but it goes beyond that. And I think those nuances of communication, I think some of the other things that we're trying to be creative with is experimenting with our students, helping our students learn about, you know, are there ways to use our libraries, write articles for town papers, facilitate science and evidence-based health communication in ways that people actually want it, and to ask them and be respectful and have those conversations, not assume that everybody wants to find that information on the internet the same way.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned town papers. Town papers are a bastion of actually good journalism in a sea of bad journalism.
Right.
As we all know, that my profession has taken a dramatic turn in recent years. But town papers do the right thing as far as it relates to journalism, and they have credibility. But again, we get back to this issue of how do you get to them, because many of them aren't printing papers anymore. They're online.
Right.
So, you know, once again, this idea of connectivity is so important. You go to a European country and everybody's got fiber. Nobody even thinks about it. And here we are still trying to, you know, get reasonable bandwidth to American citizens who really at this stage of the game, it's the only way to have any sort of health equality, right?
Right, exactly. But continue to use the things that people want. So my town sends us the town paper. A lot of towns are still doing that. So if we think about systems, we're thinking about things like how can we get more of our students to be writing important topics for those papers, and what do people want to hear about? And if we're able to do that over time, we continue to build that credibility that's so incredibly important in helping people make the best possible decisions about their own health.
So what about, though, on the healthcare professional side of the equation? I know it's a persistent long-term challenge to get people coming out of medical schools to set up shop in some of these rural locations. Right. What's being done about that? Is there any way to further encourage, fresh, bright, fresh-faced MDs just out of school to make a move and make a difference in a place like Vermont?
I think there are very practical approaches. We actually did a project with one of our rural community organizations last spring and asked resident physicians here, so in graduate medical education, right before they go out into practice, and also students becoming nurse practitioners, what it would take. And we thought that it was going to say, well, we need scholarships to do this. But the answer was actually, give us a rural rotation. Give us experiences out in these communities, because we're really interested in knowing what that's like, but we don't really have that automatically in our academic programs, which are more often in less rural settings. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. How do we get our students and medical students, our physicians in training, and our nursing students out there in these communities to see what life and the benefits and the challenges, but also the rewards of living in some of these spectacularly historic and beautiful and peaceful and lovely rural communities.
There's so many advantages to this, and I know that there are so many healthcare professionals who find this work extremely rewarding. But as one of the real catch here is that so many of them are departing school just absolutely racked with debt,
right,
and coming to a rural setting, there's a financial consequence to that. And what can be done about that one? That's a big issue.
Scholarships, national at the federal level, but also at the medical school level. I can just speak to some of the things that we have here, and that has been a priority of our legislature and our university here to see if we can't have some loan repayment, because the cost of education is very high. We really want students to be able to make choices about what they're passionate about, not make that economic choice, because there are a lot of loans that they accumulate throughout. So that is absolutely something that our policymakers are fortunately paying strong attention to.
The other issue which comes up when you talk about rural health disparities is the lack of hospital beds, and that's been a long-term challenge. Has that stabilized all of Vermont, or is that continuing a downslide?
I think that it's not so much the number of hospital beds, but the networking and the communication. So we do have a University of Vermont Health Network, and then we also have federally qualified health centers. I think there's more and more work to connect the academic centers with the more rural healthcare settings and hospitals. We're also doing that around the area of research and practice-based research networks. So we're actually getting clinicians involved in the kind of very practical or translational research to actually help the patients in their own communities. So I think those connected, again, the connectedness is really, really important here.
Yeah, staying connected is such a challenge, and there's so many financial disincentives toward doing it. One of the issues that is so important in a rural setting is the availability of Medicaid coverage. Tell me a little bit about what the situation is in Vermont. Obviously, some states are better than others.
Vermont I was the health commissioner for many years here, and that was a while ago. And Vermont was one of the early adopters of Medicaid expansion, because everyone saw the benefit of doing that for improving access to prenatal care and reducing infant mortality, then expanding healthcare access to every single child in the state of Vermont, and that was back in the 90s as an example. And then in terms of the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, we're already in a state, I think, that does an extraordinary job in utilizing the benefits of Medicaid, to help our patients here.
Given that long history of aggressive use and Medicaid being applied in that manner, are you seeing are the metrics good? Is there any way of quantifying how successful and what a good investment that is, put it that way?
I think that it is, I think that we see, and you have to look over the probably multiple years, and all the published reports that come out consistently over the years that look at a range of health and social indicators. Certainly, no state is perfect, and every state has its challenges, but Vermont has done very well in terms of access to health care. And I think that it's a challenging time for, all states in different areas. For example, opioid addiction, it continues to be very, very challenging. Post-pandemic access to mental health care services, as an example, and some of those. So the job's never done, but I think that we do have some evidence of excellent outcomes that is absolutely worth the investment to try and get people into primary and preventative care whenever we can.
So, Jan Carney, when you look at where you are and the battles you fight, are you optimistic, at least on the overall trend line?
I am. I'm always optimistic, and I think that when we take what we know and we can apply it across our state or broader across our communities, I think one of the things that we learned, one of our positive lessons was our collaborative spirit and our partnerships that we have between healthcare and public health and our not-for-profit agencies out in our communities are working. Always working in the best interest of the health of people who live here. And I'm very proud of that. I think our job is never done, but I have confidence that in the areas where we need help, we'll figure out how to get it done.
Dr. Jan Carney, Associate Dean for Public Health and Health Policy and a Professor of Medicine at the Lerner College of Medicine at the University of Vermont. You are such a great asset to the state of Vermont and cancer prevention and prevention in general. Keep doing the great work you do, and we're so privileged to have you as a friend of Less Cancer.
Thank you very much, Miles. My pleasure.
This is the National Cancer Prevention Workshop produced by Less Cancer. We're talking this year about cancer prevention in rural America, screenings, and health care for better outcomes. I'm Miles O'Brien. Thanks for watching.